Welcome to the Wanting It More podcast. I am your host, Jana Dentonhouse, and it's an absolute delight to have you here. I'm a marriage and intimacy educator, as well as a creator of the Wanting It More program, which has helped thousands of women who are married to men want and enjoy it more in the bedroom. You know, having low desire was something that I personally struggled with for years in my marriage, so I absolutely get it all. You are not alone. Just a heads up, I use all the words in this podcast, so if you've got little ears around or you're in a public setting, you may want to pop in some earbuds. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back to the podcast. Today we have Natalie joining us. Natalie just completed, actually, she is in the last week of the program, courageously coming on to share some of her experiences as well as talk about reunion sex, traveling and sex, maybe even talk about vacation sex, all the things moving around and sex, which I know a lot of women feel dread and anxiety around. So we'll get into all that. But before we do, Natalie, why don't you give us a little introduction?
Sure. I am 47 years old, almost 48. I live in the Midwest in the United States. I have 3 kids and a giant dog and a husband. So that's me.
I love it. That's great. Okay. So let's get into it. Could you just start by taking us back to childhood, teen years, young adult stuff, and what was your experience with sex education and early experiences?
Okay, what a great first question, Jana. Thank you so much for throwing me, you know, a softball there.
Just easy one, no problem.
It's all good. So I was raised in a very conservative religious family. So very much I had zero sex education, as in like less than zero. Don't talk about it. Don't ask questions. Don't do it. It's funny. I actually had a conversation with my friend who is a pelvic floor physiotherapist. And we talked also from the same faith community. And we talked about how basically it's don't do it, don't talk about it. And then the minute you get married, like, okay, full on, you need to be porn stars, right? And so it's very challenging, I would say, when it comes to that. Another, I would say, challenge that really kind of went on top of that with me was I had severe endometriosis and didn't know it, since I didn't have sex before marriage or penetrative sex before marriage. And so it was very painful. So navigating that as a 20 something with a 20 something husband who basically just felt rejected because we didn't have any idea what was going on and really nobody to talk to about it.
That's the saddest part, really, the nobody to talk to about it, because if you were, then you would find out that you're not alone and you're not broken. And, but right. We're all sort of in our own little corner feeling shame and feeling like we're the only ones. And yeah. So endometriosis, absolutely. Could you just very briefly explain what that is?
So it is where basically the lining of your uterus grows outside of your uterus. And I actually had, they said it was a grapefruit size. So the size of a grapefruit endometrioma, which is like little kind of benign cysts that was on my right ovary. So it was very, very painful with penetration, which I had zero idea that that wasn't normal. So of course it just kind of started the whole lovely cycle that I've been in for the last, you know, almost 27 years of marriage until we found the program.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, I'm a speech. I just,
yeah.
How women suffer. Women
horrific.
Suffer.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And, you know, even being seen by doctors, you know, obviously finally got to the place where it had to be removed, you know, finally got there, went through some like quote unquote sex therapy that we waited, you know, 9 months to get in to see. I think basically the, what they, I don't remember all of it. 'Cause like, I don't have the most I would say the sharpest memory for all of those kind of little details. But basically, it was, here's a vibrator, try this. And yeah, that was great, right? Whatever. But it didn't make me want to really be touched or, kind of go anywhere beyond that, just because of all of the, trauma that was in my head. It didn't set us up for a nourishing sexual experience, anything mutual, anything to that effect.
So, in your relationship, did you just power through?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we would kind of, again, it would be the cycle, right? Everything would be, we'd power through, it'd be fine. I'd, do my best to be in it. But, it was always like, okay, we have sex today, check it off now. I'm okay for a couple of days and whatever. And I've traveled for the last almost 6 years for work, which I know quite often maybe it's the husband that travels for work. So I do think that my experience could be flipped around. You could probably take it, the scenario that we're going to discuss, and flip it around so that it is applicable to the wives on this as well. But we essentially started scheduling sex two nights a week, which is a lot.
Ambitious, yeah.
Yes, but before the program, this was, what my husband needed for his fulfillment. And we didn't know any better, neither one of us. We've both grown a lot in the program. Thank you very much. And so it would be scheduled. Now, it was scheduled, but when I would travel, obviously, if I traveled on our scheduled days, then we would have to make it up or like have sex before I leave. And then, of course, that reunion sex, the night that I get back, which was always, and there's the guilt, I guess, that comes old, like previous, of I should want to, I miss my husband, I should want to do this, I know he needs it, whatever, all of those kind of old scenarios that thankfully through the program we've broken, all of those. And yeah, we're only, what, week eight? We're just into week eight now. And no, everything is not fixed, but I feel like we've gotten a lot of tools that we are definitely much better on our way to having more connection, more satisfying sexual experiences, pleasure, all of the above. Safety was the big thing.
Can you share a little bit more about your experience of not feeling safe?
I can. So I had no idea until week two of the program that safety was something that I didn't have. And neither did my husband know that this was something that kind of was going on. Reading that marital coercion playbook was very challenging. Very challenging. The discussions that we had around the comments that were always made. It's the pressure. I think the pressure is what made me feel the lack of safety. Because if you love me, why don't you want to have sex with me? Don't you find me attractive? It's my love language. I need physical touch. All of these things I think that we hear and our husbands use, not intentionally. The intention is most of the time, and I can guarantee you in my relationship that the intention was never for pressure or, anything like that. But I think that what we have, hubby and I have learned throughout this program, is intention and impact are definitely two different things. And I love that thought and that saying. And I think that that can go well beyond this program and this thing. I think it's just very, very telling that you can have all of the greatest intentions, but if the impact is improper or poorly received, then there's going to be a breakdown somewhere.
Yeah, so. I really learned that through the racial justice movement and, you know, us white people, like, but I didn't mean to be, I'm not racist. Like, I'm not me.
But, and in all honesty, Jana, that comment in those videos discussing like the Black Lives Matter movement and equity and all these types of things, because I was very, very moved with all of that. And that really kind of almost was like the huge wake up moment of, oh my word, this is absolutely correct, because we as women are so programmed with the culture and how we've been raised and, you know, how women are seen and whatever, that, wow, that is so true. And the equity piece and making sure that everyone has what they need to feel safe, to not have pressure, to, you know, feel our own pleasure, all of those types of things, which I think as women, we don't prioritize for, you know, all the reasons that we're the givers, we're, you know, all of that type of stuff.
I don't think we even know it's an option.
Correct.
So like, how do you choose something and do something if it's not even, if it's never been on the table?
Exactly.
No one's ever said, hey, you could do it this way, where you go away for work and then you come home, and even though you feel that dread on the plane, or, you know, the anxiety coming, when you get home, it must be a yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And I think you said it quite, I don't think dread is the right word, but it's the anxiety. It's the buildup of, why don't I want to do this? Why is my body broken? Why is my mind broken? You know, all of these types of things, because again, that's just how we're made to feel, that if there is an issue, and I'm using some air quotes, it always seems to fall on the woman, right? So it's my low libido, it's my, you know, low hormones, it's, you know, my chronic fatigue, it's my depression, it's my anxiety, it's all of those types of things, when actually, no, it is very much a, that safety piece, just having the freedom to say no without there being repercussions. And the repercussions I'm talking about, and I think quite a few other women in the program maybe talk about, is it's not like my husband doesn't beat me, you know, there's none of that. It's the emotional toll, right? Or how that kind of comes across can be pretty, it's a high consequence, right? Because we're trying to stay emotionally connected when, you know, our husbands think that this is the way to maintain the connection. So that anxiety is trying to, I guess, fix ourselves, right? Which, thankful to you and the program, and I realized that I'm not broken. I didn't need to be fixed. We needed to fix many things kind of around and make the environment a better place to be, so that we can be just be more connected to our partners. And I definitely am in a much better place now, 8 weeks into the program.
I think also it's that fear of abandonment as well. I mean, ultimately, I think when it really comes down to it, if I don't provide this sex, he'll leave me. And then we want to immediately be like, oh no, that wouldn't happen. Like, he would never, but it's deep. It's there.
Correct. Correct. I agree 100% with that. That nobody ever says that out loud. And I one of the things I think that the program has given to myself and my husband, and probably many other couples, is the tools to say things out loud that we've never said out loud in our 20 plus years of marriage, right? As you know, learning all these things as a 47-year-old is kind of crazy. It's kind of
It's
crazy that I
crazy.
have, right? That I have to learn it now. I mean, I'm thankful to be able to learn it now because I'm hoping to live a long life and, create a much more satisfying sexual side of our relationship than we've ever had, ever.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah, we've had women, I've served women in their 70s before, so there's you're quite young on the spectrum, actually.
Well, I think I'm very young. I don't
So
think I'm old at all.
can you share some of those truths that you've been able to tell your husband?
Truths that I can tell my husband. Okay. So just kind of thinking into the safety piece, right? And
Or
learning
anything
that.
else, maybe some preferences that you've never told him before, or things you've thought in the past that you've never said. Just like what does it sound like to say things that you've never really shared openly before?
Things that we've discussed that we probably had never discussed before were what does that, the fact that that coercion even existed, I think is one thing that we had never like discussed before.
And
The
how did that
fact,
land with him? I know a lot
oh,
of women are quite nervous
it's
about bringing.
painful. It was very painful. And, we happen to be having, I would say, this conversation in a hotel room. So we weren't even at home. And so it was very challenging to have that. A lot of tears for both of us. I think at one point my husband said he's probably going to kill me. Not really, but 20 years of this, he'd be like, you said that? I'm like, sorry, babe. We have to help other people. This is the whole
Yes,
purpose,
this is a
right?
team effort.
Exactly. It's a team effort. But he's like, I've now turned into this blubbering idiot. Like, you want me to be a blubbering idiot? I'm like, yes, I'm very thankful that you're so sensitive now, right? And I think just some of the empowerment that I received from the program, from you, from some of the other facilitators, from many of the other women in the program, I didn't get the same guilt sensation and feeling bad about it and feeling like I had to make the situation better. Like I felt like I could allow him to work through his own feelings, which again is just crazy, right? Prior to the program and prior to when I would come home from a work trip, right? And so other women, right? When your husband would come from home from a work trip, right? There's the expectation. And then sometimes I would come home and I'd be really tired, right? And then it would be, oh, you're just so tired, like, whatever. Like I work, it's hard, right? I work. It's not intentional. But I would always feel guilty or sad or like I had to fix the situation, right? And fix the because if I didn't, then like the distance would come, right? There would be that disconnect and there would be the distance until we had sex, right? And then we could kind of get back to the connection. And now what is actually happening and what happened for the first time about 2 weeks ago was I was coming home from a trip and my husband was texting me and we were texting each other and he's like, you know, I've missed you. I'm really excited to see you. And I texted him, I've missed you too. And I'm really excited to be home, which I've never said that in a very, very, I can't remember the last time I've said that because I'm always, it's always the anxiety. So the fact that I want to be home, I want to be near him, with him, you know, in the same bed, touching, whatever, is just, it just, it's changed our whole relationship. It's changed my whole life. And I'm just really, really thankful for that.
What a gift for you both, because he didn't even know that that level of anxiety was playing out for you. It's so hard to put ourselves in each other's positions.
Yes.
And if you're somebody who really enjoys sex and sex brings you feel makes you feel closer to your partner and it's so pleasurable, and why wouldn't you want to do this amazing thing? It's really difficult to understand that it's actually doing harm that to your partner.
Correct.
So
And
when you, if we could spell it out a little bit more for people listening, because you and I know what you're talking about, but for people especially who are just listening for the kind of first couple of episodes, are so when you said now I want to be home. Now I feel safe. What is the actual, what are the actual things that have changed?
Okay. All of the pressure for sex or physical contact has been removed. It is 100% like we have put in consent, right? We have shared our lists of likes and don't likes. And my list of likes in the beginning was, you know, about this long. I actually haven't gone in and physically updated the list yet,
So very
but
small, which
very
is
small.
really
Basically, it was,
common for everyone listening. That is very common.
I was like, you can hold my hand and you can give me a hug. This is about where I was at with the sexual or sorry, just any physical touch.
What, and so that felt really good for him to initiate those things, or would you be initiating that?
I initiated most initially. Now we're kind of in a spot where we just kind of, can I give you a hug? Can I hold your hand? Like, again, not in a, and it does seem a little awkward sometimes, right? Because when you're in a committed relationship, it's like, hey, we can just touch each other wherever we want all the time. But when you actually really think about that, probably not the way that it should be, right? We should be getting consent, asking for, because maybe it feels good today, but maybe it doesn't feel good tomorrow or even in 10 minutes or, you know, something to that effect. So the excitement about coming home was I know that I'm not going to be expected to have or to do anything that I don't want to do.
Awesome. And then I'm guessing as well, not the pressure to advance things, because I know
Correct.
that's another thing.
I think that's the biggest thing is, and actually I feel much more, I want to touch him more. I want to, you know, snuggle and lay next to him and have him hug me and, you know, lay next to each other in bed because I know that it's not going to go anywhere. And it's not a, I'm just call it cuddling up to you because I want sex. Like we're very much in a much better connected position of, we just want to be close and just to feel each other's body heat or, you know, whatever. But there's no expectation beyond that because of the framework that we have in place, which is, again, just changed everything for us.
That's so beautiful. So you had a couple of trips this time, and wow. I mean, doing the program when you're away from each other, I'm just briefly, what was that like?
So it was a challenge, mostly because so every Friday the videos and the content would drop. And of course, my husband is like, he's checked the boxes, wants to get everything, you know, like where are the metrics? Where are the, you know, how do we, you know, get this? We figured out, you know, this is not an analytical process. There is no, we've arrived. It's definitely, we're kind of going to get there. But especially if I was working on that Friday and we couldn't discuss them or, look at them, because the first 2 weeks of the program, I was home. So we could, watch the videos, have the discussions, kind of be together.
Can I just pause you there for a second? Because each couple deals with it a little differently. And for everyone listening, how it works is that even though you are doing it together, you are doing it kind of separately because you have your own videos and you have your own communities. It's separated by gender. And I think each couple does it their own way. So it sounds like it was a that you would watch yours and he would watch his and then you would discuss together.
Correct. We would actually watch all of ours. Like I would watch mine and his, he would watch his and mine, and then
Nice.
we would discuss. We didn't watch
Nice.
them together. And so when we were not together physically, it did make it very challenging because it's hard to do over phone, FaceTime. I'm really tired because I do a lot of speaking and educating, as you well know. It takes a lot of energy, right? And then when you're done, you're just like, yes.
Yeah,
So
Netflix,
I have a,
chocolate, a
yes.
bed.
Yes, I have a lot of empathy and compassion for what you do because I do get that part of it. So, and the amount of kind of mental engagement that is required to really dig into all of these different topics is very challenging when you are not in the same vicinity. And so you have to be very intentional, which thankfully we were both very intentional of, okay, here's where I'm at. Here's my mental capacity. I am available now. We can talk. Sometimes there were a couple of times when I had to put in a boundary in a text. I cannot discuss this right now. I am too tired. Like I had to kind of really put that boundary in, and he respected it very, very well. Again, I think just him seeing the little kind of glimmers and how things had changed that he was seeing, and working through his own areas of the program, I think just made it to where we could continue to have the deep conversations as we needed to when we were separate.
How does it feel now looking back at your long marriage and what sex was like? Have you gone through any grief or anger or any of those emotions?
Probably, I don't know if I've given myself time to really do that yet. It is a little bit, I think, of a grieving process of all the time that was lost because of, the fact that nobody talks about this, right? And there's you can read a book, you can try to go to a therapist, you can, if you have a sister, an auntie, or whatever, a good friend. But in my faith community, it's always been very closed, right? And so there really wasn't anybody to kind of go to, which is a challenge, right? My being this early in the journey, my thinking is, okay, right now I'm working and my husband and I are working through our own kind of, I guess, ways to maintain this, keep this going, make it our own, right? There's a lot of things given throughout the program, that may work. This part may work for someone, this part may work for someone, but I think all of the underlying messages are very, very pertinent. It's how we are now planning to take these and make these our own, and not, well, Jana says, no, Jana taught us these paths and these, different ideas, and now we're taking that and we're going to make that our own little, I guess, piece of whatever we want it to be, which is chocolate cake. or ice cream or anything else, the dessert.
I love that because sometimes it can kind of be from one formula to the next, and that's not the point, you know? So let's take the media sex formula as being the thing we're all trying to recreate, and that's going to bring us fulfillment and joy and satisfaction, and it never does.
No.
And then, oh, there's another formula. Okay, let's do that formula. And that's what I've seen a lot of books about sex to be around, you know, very orgasm focused and very position focused. And I love, Natalie, that you see that it's not, that's not what we're doing here. This is really about practices and intentions rather than actions. So it's more how you do something rather than what you are doing. And I think a
Correct.
lot of stuff around sex is very focused on what you are doing, hence the vibrator that the sex therapist.
Right. And I think the why is really important. And I think the why kind of throughout anything that you're doing, right? As I'm, trying to educate someone on, X topic, why am I trying to tell you this? Why do I want you to do this, right? Why do we want to do this? And I think we're finding our own why, right? Stressful situations, which prior to the program, I would have completely shut down. Now I'm like, no, give me. I was like, this is for my pleasure. We find pleasure together. This is, I want this. It would always have been, sex and any type of intimacy would be completely off the table when I would get, super stressed. And now it's no, I want our time. I want our time that we have set aside for this. And I think one of the challenges we have moving forward is we're not always together, say the same day of the week every week, right? But we are very committed to, okay, we're going to have this week. This is what our schedule looks like next week. This is going to be our time. This is how it looks, week to week. We're going to find the time that we need to for connection and our kind of mutual pleasure and satisfaction.
Yeah, so it sounds like you really have moved from. I mean, I think a lot of women coming in, they, and a lot of our listeners, the why is so that I don't feel guilty, so that I am a good wife, so that he doesn't get grumpy, so that he doesn't leave me. So there's a lot of just there the why of that I would have a stressful week and then take from the experience, take nourishment, take relaxation, take joy and pleasure. It's just not even there. Again, not even an option we knew we could
Right,
have.
exactly. And it is wonderful. It really is, because it is very nourishing and kind of re-energizing and all of that, which, again, who knew? Jana knew.
Yeah, I knew. I keep trying to tell everyone that it's so much more fulfilling, but that media sex formula is so strong, and that hierarchy of what counts as sex is, oh, that's a hard one to crack. Have you found that your sexual experiences look different now than they did
Oh,
before?
very much so. Very much so. Oh, and by the way, thank you for ruining every like TV series and show that I've ever liked and wanted. Thank you very much for
You're
that.
welcome. I know. My poor girls. We can't watch anything now. I try really hard, but they say, Mom, it's the size and the looks that are the hardest to deal with. Like, we can feel your energy from here. Sometimes I just have to leave the room. I think because I see the harm and damage. So it's not like a, oh, whatever, that's just a playful little joke, or that's a funny little sex scene. I'm like, no, I deal with thousands of women and men too who have been impacted by these messages that are
Oh,
just
100%. 100%.
everywhere.
No, I agree. And even just how things land in regular conversation now, like just with people. And I'm just like, ooh, I don't like that. Like that just makes me cringe. I don't want to hear that. And my My daughter last night, she's in her mid-teens, and she was bringing out her tips. She works at, she has a little job, and she's like, yeah, these are my stripper singles. I was like, what? I'm like, what did you just say? Again, I haven't really shared that much yet with her, but I was like, babe, I don't really like that term. I think it's very degrading, whether it's male or female. I think that that could be very objectifying. I think she was like, are you crazy, mom? So
Yeah,
I
you're over the top, too sensitive.
yeah.
Come on. Like, it's just a word. No big deal. Just a phrase.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It can be a little depressing sometimes to see it everywhere. But then, we get to see the change. I think that's the rewarding piece. We get to be in groups together and
Yes.
to see the ripple effects. And we may not get to our teen girls. We'll try our best. I mean, how
Yes.
many times have I talked about consent with them? We know, Mom, we know. But we do our best. As we wrap up, is there anything that we didn't cover today that you were hoping to? That's a big, broad question. I know
Going to say.
you're like, come on, Jana, that's ridiculous.
I would just say, I think my husband and I are different than a lot of people that maybe go through your program, in that I didn't find your podcast until we were in the program. And so, I've been listening ever since we've been in the program, and the topics are very relevant. I've shared it with my girlfriend, who's the physio, and I think it's just a really good message that we have to get out there, to remove the taboo. It's removing the taboo and letting us, I guess, have the more fulfilling relationships that we all deserve, without having to hide everything in the shadows.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on and having the courage to do this. It's a really big deal, and we would have no podcast if it wasn't for folks like you. So thank you so much. And
Well,
thank
thank
you
you.
to everyone who listened today. Maybe, just maybe, the next time you have to come back after a vacation or being out for work, maybe you can just tell the honest truth about how you're feeling about sex. And if you don't want to do it, no is a perfectly good thing to say. Actually, it's better to tell the truth. Less harm is done.
100%. I think that is the other biggest thing, is we often feel as women, sorry for the time, we often feel that we can't tell the truth because it's going to be harmful. And this is something my husband and I are working through, because he's like, I felt like you would say some one thing, but now it means something different. So that's definitely something that we have to work through. But being very clear, being very, starting those conversations, I think will be very helpful. In the long run, whether it's, wife traveling, husband traveling, it will be very, very helpful in your marriage if you can start to have those conversations.
Yeah, and you're just telling the truth. That's all you're doing. You're not
Correct.
manipulating. You're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. You're not trying to withhold anybody from anything. You're just telling the truth. That's it. It's so basic when it comes down to it. And also, I acknowledge that there can be repercussions. And so, if you are in a relationship, I don't want you to put yourself in harm's way if that is a situation you're in. So, there's a lot that surrounds this, but Natalie, thanks for coming on and having this conversation. I hope it has helped you, dear listener, and I will talk to you in the next one. Bye for now. If you've enjoyed this episode, I have a favor to ask of you. It's really hard to get the word out about a podcast about sex. What would really, really help is if you would leave a rating and a review. And I know that you get asked this all the time in different podcasts, but please, I beg you, it would really, really help so that more women who need this message will hear it. All you have to do is go into your Apple Podcast app. It's the purple icon. And if you go to the podcast page, where it shows my face and has a little button that says latest episodes. If you scroll down past the episodes and you get to a section called ratings and reviews, there's a little purple writing thing that says write a review. If you click on that, it will ask you to give it a 5 stars. Actually, you can put any stars, but 5 is what I would love. And put a title and then write your review. Thank you so much for supporting this little venture here. And I really am so grateful. If you are curious about wanting it more and how this program could help you want and enjoy sex more with your husband, and you feel like it may be a great next step for you, you can go to janetdentonhouse.com/wantingitmore to sign up for the waitlist, to learn more, to see when we're running our next round. All right, that's it. I'll see you next one.